Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You like that?
The silence, I think, is your answer.
One more time. Not quite as exciting.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delt,
and Melissa Delt
in the house.
So we've got another week without Ryan and Katie. They are having fun being a mom and dad, which is pretty awesome. They almost, I think, came to game night tonight. It sounded like they were close. They were pondering it. They didn't make it, but we had a great turnout. Got to play a bunch of new games, which was pretty cool. I don't think I played any old games tonight. Only new games.
All new games.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I saw Everdell on the table.
I did.
Jumped in.
Yeah.
Or when I walked in.
We played a little bit long, but I think it was all right. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I've enjoyed it. We played it a couple times. Mm-hmm. I love the components. I could just gush on them for quite a while. The squishy berries are pretty fantastic. The tree is cool. Gameplay was fun. I tried a different strategy this time, and it worked pretty well. Like, really focusing. Last time I was just kind of purchasing whatever I could get a hold of, and this time I very intentionally focused on just getting the construction for the first round so that I would have more opportunity to collect the free critters later in the game.
Did it work?
Ish. I tied for first with like 61 points, I think. But Adam beat me because the tiebreaker was component or the resources, and he had like two more resources than me.
Nice.
So really tight game though, really fun. The people that played with us, the one lady was not a gamer at all, but she jumped in and really enjoyed it. Really cool stuff. Everdell from I don't know what
Starling
they're
Games.
Yeah, that's right. Cool, enjoying that one. What did you guys play?
One of the games I played was City of Gears from Gray Fox Games, and this is a sort of action selection dice rolling game, and you are moving your people out on the board, spending resources, and flipping tile, exploring this grid-based board, and connecting, like linking your tiles together. There's some area at the end of the game. Based on if you have the most of surrounding the tile, then you'll get the points. So,
what was the bags? Were you like drawing stuff out?
You're drawing gears out of the bags,
gears.
And those gears you can place in the slots around the different tiles.
It looked very cool out on the table. Like it had a very unique. Like it drew me in just from what is that? It looks weird.
There's a little bit of take that in the game because you can roll these like lightning bolts, and you can use lightning bolts to basically destroy other people's gears and. Or you could choose to basically knock their bots off the board.
So. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because it had interesting little robot meeples, right?
So. Who won that one?
Oh, Seth got, like, all of us.
he was
able to do these, like, linking bonuses and, like, get, like, multiple points. It was crazy.
So. Cool. It seemed like you guys picked it up pretty quick because nobody knew how to play it, right?
No one knew how to play it and picked it up really quick and, yeah.
Cool. Excellent. What did the ladies play?
I played Christmas Lights.
Oh, yeah.
From
25th Century Games.
Yes, which we got as a Christmas present on our last episode.
Yeah.
And the game comes with multiple ways to play it. We played the original main game and has a little bit of a Hanabi feel because you can't see your cards, so you have your Christmas bulbs facing everyone else.
Interesting.
And each player has two patterns that they're trying to match. So the card, it has five bulbs, and it might be purple, pink, green, yellow, orange, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing that you can do on your turn is swap a card from your hand and someone else's so you can see the card that you're getting from the other player. And then you're just you know, giving away something, which you probably don't know what it is unless you've gotten some information.
But so, then you do know because now it's out of your hand and you...
Right. And you can see it in the other person's hand. There's... Interesting. Also, kind of like similar to Bonanza, there's a phase where you can draw a card and take one out of your hand and then offer them to other people. And you're not trading cards with the other people, you're trading information. So if you could say, oh, does anyone want this green bulb? You can have it if you answer a question about my hand.
Oh.
Like, do I have any plugs in my hand? Is this one a blue or something like that?
Interesting.
But if you do that, you're giving them bulbs that are going to help them. So you have to be careful how much you trade and is it really worth it?
Oh, cool. Now I want to play that one.
So, yeah, I only got through my first five, my one pattern, by the time the other lady had done both of her cards.
Finished it off.
So.
Nice.
And it's a race, that's how you win, first person to complete it.
I saw you teaching a game of Between Two Castles.
Yes. Yes, I did not play, but I taught to five people.
Wow.
And none of them had played either Between Two Cities or Castles of Mackie and Ludwig.
Oh, no.
So I had to basically teach
Start from ground level. How was that?
It worked fine.
Okay.
I mean, it took longer than a normal game would take with five new players. Some of them were taking a long time to decide which tiles to choose.
Okay.
But they all seemed to enjoy it, and they... You know, did well with the scoring, and they were talking about, oh, if we put this here, and oh, should we take this? So they were really cooperating with their neighbors and trying to build the best castles that they could. So
that's cool. Did you explain to them, obviously, that there are two other games now that they've unlocked and need to...
awesome.
Did we have any of those with us? I don't know if we had the other two.
No. Mm-mm.
Next time. We did have a couple people show up who had come to our library game day.
Oh, cool.
And they were asking, I can't remember which game they were asking about.
Expand City, maybe?
Maybe? No. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, it was Modern Art.
Oh, Modern Art. Yeah, she was like, I played that game, and then I went and bought it on eBay, and then...
They bought Modern Art?
Or something like that, yeah. Yeah, she was all excited to play
it. She bought upgraded things. She actually bought an actual gavel and a little stand to hold
the
art.
To put the art on. Yeah, that's pretty clever.
Cool.
What did you play?
I played War Chest.
Oh, cool.
With three other guys, and... it was a pretty intense couple.
Was it?
Yeah, we played one game and it went rather quickly, and so we ended up just played two more rounds and
To get two more control bases, or did you start over and play again?
No, we played a full six.
Oh, wow.
Three times.
Wow.
So the first time we just dealt out the different factions randomly, and then the last time we did drafting to choose. And so
I have not played War Chest yet.
Sarah just learned how to play. We played that over Thanksgiving. The boys have been wanting to play more and more games, and so I was like, this is a fun one.
Is it just two players, or can you do four?
Two or four.
Okay.
So it's teams if you do four, which is pretty cool.
Or you can do three if somebody plays as a team and one person plays.
Okay.
Sure, right, yeah. Yeah, then the other game that I got to play that I've been looking forward to was Shadows Amsterdam from
Lillibud
or whatever, basically Asmodee.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I love the concept of it. It's kind of like Mysterium / Codename /
Dixit. In real time.
Yeah.
All in real time?
Yeah. So
you
have this giant hexagonal grid out with a bunch of pictures on it. You as the like agent or code name giver or whatever are revealing handing cards to your team, and they have to kind of figure out from that picture which picture you want them to move their marker onto, and you're racing to get these to find these clues basically on the board, and then to make it to the check marks location and get out.
Okay.
Liam beat me. He did a good job with his team.
Wow, great.
I was on that team.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He was giving us some good clues and working us around the board. So there's different tiles that are targets, I guess, that you're trying to hit.
So you played
specific locations.
I did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the hard part is like if your team gets off by one clue, then you have to kind of redirect everything and figure out which way you're going to go, and it gets a little crazy, and then you're like, oh, they went wrong again. If you land on the wrong spot like three times, you lose. So I think we were only like one or two spaces away from, like, it was a pretty close game, really. But he did a good job. He was grabbing good clues and handing the right directions.
Another game Kevin played with Seth that I taught them was Caper from Keymaster Games.
Yes. There's some big news about Keymaster.
That's right.
Should we just jump into that right now?
Let's do it. Let's jump into it.
We're pretty pumped. Keymaster has come on as one of our platinum sponsors for Tantrum Con.
That's exciting. Thank you, Keymaster.
Yeah, that unlocks a lot of doors for us, gives us cool opportunities to add some new features to the event. And then we'll be working with them really closely to hopefully put together some tournaments for their games and give them some help. They've got a Kickstarter coming up. I don't even know what the name of the game is yet.
I know the name of the game.
Is it Secret?
No, they did announce it. It's about national parks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
She said it's illustrated by somebody who's doing some
really
cool stuff.
It's really cool looking. But that's coming out in January, so we'll get you more information
sooner. Yeah, we'll definitely have details on that. We'd love to help them be successful in that. That'd be very cool. But yeah, so that's the latest Tantrum Con news. And then if you missed it, bummer on you. We had a Black Friday special going on to get your tickets.
But still good prices.
It is, absolutely. And you can get those at tantrumcon.com. Go ahead and reserve your badge now for the event on the 15th of February. It's hard to believe that's only like three months barely away. Yeah. It'll be here before we know it.
Well, let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we're talking about four games coming to Kickstarter the week of December 3rd, 2018, and an accessory for your games. Mm-hmm. Kevin, start us off.
The first game we're talking about tonight is a game called Fences from Bearded Board Games. This is coming to Kickstarter on December 3rd. It's for 2 to 4 players and takes about 30 to 45 minutes to play. Think Carcassonne plus, well, it's mainly Carcassonne mechanic where you're laying tiles, but the main mechanic is fencing in different types of animals, so pigs and cows and sheep and things like that. Every player has their own player power, and Melissa, me and you played this together. Yeah, it's not really player power, but
it's more of scoring goals.
Yeah, scoring goals. Thank you, Melissa. And so you're Farmer Brown, and then there's another farmer, and basically one of the goals could be, I want to enclose pastures with no sheep, and I'll get points.
Okay.
But I can enclose anybody's pasture because you're placing your little barns on these little enclosures. And as soon as a farm gets, or a little enclosure gets enclosed, a fence gets fenced.
Fence to pasture.
Proper terminology.
Yes, fence to pasture. Then you see if anybody can score that thing. So the person that owns that pasture is going to score. You as the enclosure can score. Some other people says some cars could be like any pasture that gets enclosed that has, you know, more than one cow in it could get points. So looking at other people's powers and knowing what they are as you're trying to, of course, get your own things out there.
If Kevin gets lots of points for closing a pasture with no sheep, I'm going to throw tiles with sheep on them into his pastures.
So very take that E, or
not too bad.
Or similar to Carcassonne take that, where it's like steal those points if you can get
them. Correct. Yeah, it's more like a Carcassonne. And I think that's fine because everyone's doing it.
Right.
The other thing is you can get double the points on some pastures if only one type of animal is in that pasture. So if there's only cows in the pasture, that person that owns it is getting double the number of points. So if I have 4 cows, I'll get 8 points instead of just 4.
Are we talking like square tiles or hexagons?
So the tiles are square, but okay. The fences, the way they're really actually pretty ingenious. The fences are all over the place. So there's like diagonals in the actual square. So you're sort of connecting them as you and even the tiles themselves. The different animals on the tiles are placed in different places within the fences. So, okay, like, cool. One square could have this little tiny, this diagonal fence with, like, one animal. And the other side could have, like, 4 or 5 animals. So, yeah, check out Fences on December 4th from Bearded Board Games. Melissa, what you talking about?
I am looking at the next game from Awaken Realms. Oh. They've published things like Lords of Hellas and Nemesis. So, a pretty big company. On December 5th, they are bringing Tainted Grail, Fall of Avalon. And this is a dark reimagination of the King Arthur legends. It is for 1 to 4 players. It's cooperative and plays in about 60 to 120 minutes. And
This game has area movement, deck building, a modular board. Some of the words they use to describe it is that it combines exploration, survival, character development, immersive storytelling, and card-driven combat. So it sounds like you're going to be developing your hero and exploring new locations and managing your resources. It's been compared a little bit to Seventh Continent, but I don't think it's exactly like that. But
okay,
that's what people have sort of said that it reminds them of.
Is it that massive, like that many pieces and components? And
I don't know.
Probably, knowing Awakened
but
Realms.
It looks like it's going to come with miniatures.
Okay.
I think your board is... It's made of cards, tarot-sized cards, and you only put a certain number out each game, so it's not this huge, sprawling map that you're discovering like you are in Seventh Continent. But that is Tainted Grail, Fall of Avalon by Awakened Realms, and it is coming December 5th. Will.
So I'm looking at the game, The Final Flick Tier. We just put together a review for this, so it'll be up on our channel if you want to kind of see what it looks like. It's a pretty cool dexterity game for 2 to 4 players, but it's not like your typical dexterity game. You are flicking stuff around on a neoprene mat, which is pretty cool. But this game very much kind of reminded me of the Firefly game. Like, that game is massive. You're doing a ton of stuff in it. It's kind of almost 4X-ish in that you're, like, you're exploring areas, you're collecting resources, you're making drop-offs, you're expanding your stuff. But it's all in this nice, condensed, dexterity, light rule set form. So it's pretty neat. You have your ships are dice, which is cool. So you're flicking your dice around the board, trying to land on different planets, trying to collect resources from those planets so that you can build your different bases and so that you can fulfill the missions and things. If you flick into another player, then you can attack them, of course, and you base your attack on the number of your die value plus cards that you play from your hand. And the interesting thing is that all the players in the game are kind of asymmetrical. So you have one player who has, you know, it only costs him this much to build a base. And he's also, but he's only using like 4-sided die to flick across the board. Okay. And he might be playing against this dude with a 20-sided die, but it costs that guy twice as much to build stuff. So you gotta kind of base your strategy on, you know, what your player character is. And then, just cool. I mean, we had fun with it. The boys played it with us. We took it to the game night tonight and laid it out. It's a pretty cool little game.
Yeah,
Sarah played
it too.
Did you have thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that there were multiple paths to victory.
Yeah.
Like, while it's dexterity, the dexterity portion was not necessarily the main...
You could still have strategy.
Yeah, there was strategy behind the dexterity. And there was ways to mitigate the dexterity. Like, you could upgrade so that you can get an extra movement in case you missed, you know, on the dexterity portion. So I felt like it was an upgrade from a lot of the dexterities that are out there that are simply just flick.
Right.
Or
it
kind of
had some of the, it felt like a normal, like, you know, game where you'd have a tape measure and you'd be measuring it, like that almost level of strategy, except instead of busting out your tape measure, you're actually just flicking your pieces. So
yeah.
It was cool. I enjoyed it a lot. It's from Barrett Publishing. It's for, I said 2 to 4 players. It takes about, it says on BoardGameGeek, 45 to 75 minutes, but I feel like we played it much faster than that. I don't know if we were just flicking like crazy
I think it depends on how focused people are on attacking each other.
Yeah.
If you're real nice and not attacking, then the game's going to go much quicker because you'll just blow through a lot of the missions. Whereas if you're attacking each other, it's slowing you down. You're using your resources to attack. So I think it kind of depends on what the style that players are going to play.
Yep. Yeah, pretty cool. The Final Flick Tier. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Coming December 4th is Chai. And this is from Deep Aqua Games, and this is designed by Dan Kazmaier and Connie Kazmaier. And this is a game that is a set collection game. It has a solo variant, and it plays up to 5 players, and it plays in about 20 to 60 minutes. It's a nice casual weight game, and in the game, you have your own little tea house, and you are serving customers.
You're a tea-rista.
T-Rista will. So you are a merchant for your tea shop, and you will, there's two different types of ingredients that you can add to your specific tea flavor. Everyone has a specific player color, so green tea or black tea or white tea, etc. And then you can go to the market. And the market has kind of an interesting mechanic, almost like Potion Explosion, where you can pick up items that are the same color adjacent to one another. And then there's also the pantry where you're just picking tokens. And then you're collecting the things that you need for your specific customers. There's also a market where you can get customers. I had a good time with it. The components for the prototype were very nice. I thought they were interesting. We'll see what the final version is on Kickstarter. I'd be interested in seeing. I liked the tactile portions. Our prototype came with actual teacups that you put the orders in. It makes a nice little clinking sound. So Kevin played this one tonight. What'd you think, Kevin?
I got to play it tonight. Three player?
We played a three player tonight. Game.
And it moves pretty quickly. I like that. And yeah, the board, the action board is kind of cool with how you can sort of pick a certain type out and pay the money for it, and then the pieces slide in, maybe pay some more in the market to buy some more. Are they ingredients of some sort?
Yeah, they are ingredients to add to your tea. So there's like mint and ginger and lemon and jasmine.
And then even what orders you decide to try to fill is going to impact your gameplay, because if I'm the person that has the red leaves and you have the green leaves, if I try to fulfill a green leaf order, I'm actually paying you money to do that. So there's a lot of different interesting strategy on that.
When we pull it out of the box, I will say, like, the box cover for it is, because the name is so simple, just chai, and it's ginormous. As soon as we pulled it out of the box, one of the guys was like, oh, I haven't seen this game before. What's this all about? So I think it does have some shelf appeal.
Cool.
Just because of the simplicity of their design, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. We enjoyed that one. Coming December 4th, Chai.
One more game. It's a product. Thank you, Sarah. It's a product. NSKN Games, which just recently came on board with Board and Dice Games, they sort of partnered together, but I think NSKN is doing a Kickstarter for some card sleeves on December 3rd. So the name of the card sleeves are Paladin card sleeves, so think strong card sleeves. So
protect your cards.
So if you're interested in card sleeves and like sleeving your cards, then check out NSKN's Kickstarter on December 3rd for their campaign about for card sleeves.
I don't really know anything about card sleeves. Like, I'm the kind of person who just like eats the pretzels and then touches the cards instantaneously.
Well, pretzels aren't bad, but Cheetos.
I'm curious though, like, how these things work. Do you get a better deal if you buy a bundle? Probably. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Or are they made out of like new space age polymers or something cool? Is that what they discovered, a new kind of plastic technology?
Super strong.
Awesome. That's it. Check them out. Well, cool. I think that wraps up our Kickstarter conniption. Why don't we go ahead and jump from here into a Tantrum House timeout with Larry the intern.
It's the 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host, Larry the Intern.
This week on The Timeout, we're looking at Deadland by a production group that, I'm not going to lie, I cannot pronounce their name at all, so my apologies. First of all, I have to commend Deadland on the artwork. It's modern, it's edgy, and has a grunge feel that fits this game perfectly. The characters also look like a fun bunch to hang out with on weekends, or I guess in this case, as the world is ending. The gameplay is also simple, making it easy to play several times, so why is Deadland on this segment? It's another zombie game. I mean, how many zombie games before they should be regulated? I say we passed that number years ago. There's no innovation, just borrow a few mechanics and ideas from other zombie games and movies, then call it a day. If you're bringing a game about surviving The Walking Dead to market, give us something we haven't seen before. Please. I give Deadland 3 oozing brains out of 5, because quite frankly, it looks super cool. Hey, if you have a game you want to hear on The Timeout, let us know in the comments or on Facebook. See ya.
survive the zombie apocalypse. Thanks, well, Larry.
I do have to say, I think the best, one of the best covers on our YouTube videos is the one that you guys did of zombie.
It was
dice.
Pretty cool looking.
You like that one?
Kevin
black and white
with,
action.
Kevin was a zombie, yeah. Looking dead. Half yeah. Black and white. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you do the black and white, Will?
Yeah. That was did it cool. On the playthrough or the after party or
we
something
need to do
like
more
that.
Of that kind of stuff for thumbnails.
Have a little more fun. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Speaking of, and I shouldn't interrupt in the podcast for business things, but I was wondering this week, we were talking about shooting our season intro for next season's videos. Correct. We like to try to usually up the ante on those. I actually asked Ben, now you're on the spot, to put together a compilation video of all of our intros that we've done, because I think we've done 5 or 6 intros.
Yes.
I'd love to get people's opinions on it. So if you have an opinion, podcast listener, Sarah and I were reading some podcasts or some Facebook posts about people who were saying some people hate the intro videos that all of us board game media people tend to put
but
in.
People love ours.
That's what I wonder. Like, okay. Is the quality of our video enough to allow people to like sustain that watching, or do they just roll their eyes and keep and like fast forward?
Well, we do have one person who often comments, start at such and such time. It is the timestamp of after
so,
the
he's
intro.
He's so helpful. What a helpful person.
I mean, if other people would be like, I watch your videos to watch the intro.
Right. I've gotten that comment, so I'm excited about
so
that.
So is there a way to keep it awesome but short?
Right.
That's true.
Or can we like, is there, what I would love to figure out, is there a way to put like previews from the game into the intro video so that you're not just watching the same one every time, but like there's like, oh, and there's some component shots or I don't know, something. I gotta figure it out. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna shoot that and be,
on my 1 hour lunch break. Week.
That's right, be ready. It's gonna be tight.
But we just had Thanksgiving.
We did, and I'm still full.
Yes.
I'm actually kinda hungry.
Hopefully you guys had a fantastic Thanksgiving. We did. We actually hung out here, but that meant we got more game time in. Although, even with as much game time as we got in, I don't think we got nearly as much as you guys. I saw a picture on the Facebooks.
Yes.
How many games did you guys take with you?
We took over 30 games and
over
played
30.
And we played over 20 of them.
Wow.
During Thanksgiving break.
Do you like tally those? Is this like family tradition? Was it just burn as many games as we can play through?
No, we were, it's sort of a tradition to try and pull, you know, play as many, but you know, we want to play ones that we enjoy, so it's not just playing 40 games of Werewords or something. It's 20 different games, over 20 different games. So,
what were like the highlights? Did you have a favorite? Did the family love some specific one?
Actually, I kept asking as we were going through the weekend, what are some of the favorite ones that have been sort of rising to the top?
Yeah.
And Between Two Castles was like one of the favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
So
excellent.
We pulled out Cottage Garden.
Did it have anything to do with the fact that Melissa like pulled it out and she was like, "You guys, this is the best one."
Or no.
Was that-
I love it.
So no, it was really because they
just enjoyed it.
We pulled out some older ones like Cottage Garden, which came out like I think in 2016,
mm-hmm.
And they
it's a pretty one. I like all those.
Components. They played it before, but they still said they liked that. We played Potion Explosion. We played Gizmos. I mean, we did play Seventh Continent, which took a few hours.
Wow, okay, cool.
That was probably a flop for everyone.
Okay.
That's okay.
Not quite their type of game.
Yeah. But
yeah, I think at 4 players, it was just going a little long.
A little long. I know we finished 2 puzzles as well on top of that.
Was that simultaneous, like moving puzzle pieces and playing Gizmos at the same time?
I don't know if the third puzzle got finished.
No.
Okay. We did start another one, but what else was jumped out at you, Melissa?
Let's see. We played Ticket to Ride Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. which is one of our favorite versions.
Is that where you were at?
No, we were in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. So.
But That's we cool. might be in Pennsylvania during Christmas at
That's
some
true.
Point.
Yep. And we played lots of other games. So
yeah, played Tutor again.
From Academy Games.
And stole our sister-in-law's rings, kind of like we did to Sarah.
Yeah, I remember
the
other.
It wasn't our fault. I'm sorry.
Nice.
She said she still enjoyed it, though.
Oh, that's good. All right.
So.
Oh, and we did unlock The Adventures of Oz.
Yeah, that was actually really,
Oz.
Really fun.
That
and
Oz, sounds cool.
And Oz, we'll have to bring it. You guys can play it.
Yeah?
It's cool.
Yeah, interesting.
I was just Oz thinking theme. The other day, somebody hasn't done that theme yet.
Yeah, good.
Well, now
on
it's
on a
here.
Good board game.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, we mentioned that we played
War Chest.
A game that we mentioned.
Yeah,
War Chest. And then we played Cavern Tavern twice.
Cool.
We played that with Liam and introduced it to him.
He actually picked it out, and then I was like, ah, this is a little heavy. You ready for this? Oh, yeah. And then he beat us by a lot.
So he had so much playing that we had some friends over Sunday or Saturday, and he was like, can we play that one again? I'll play it if we play it. So he didn't do nearly as well the second time, but had a lot of fun with it. That was pretty cool. And then the kids played Googly Eyes a bunch.
Oh, wow,
we talked about that. I think we did talk about that one. And I think we played a couple other ones. I don't remember what else. But
we played Everdell, and played Chai, and The Shadows Amsterdam. And
oh, that's right. We were learning them all in preparation for the game nights.
Yeah. We played a unique party game.
Oh, yes.
It's called It Dies With Me from Breaking Games.
Sounds fun.
We'll definitely bring it next week. Yeah. I didn't bring it to game night.
It's the type of game you probably want to play with people you know.
Okay. Or you trust.
One person writes down a secret. It's supposed to be something that no one in the group knows.
Okay.
And it is written on edible paper with an edible marker.
I did hear about that.
And then the whole point of the game is whoever wins the game gets to read the secret and eat it and never tell anyone.
And that's the prize for
the prize. Yes. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
What's the actual mechanics of the game?
So the mechanic, there's two ways of winning. One is to move up this like tomb track. And you do that by basically, I think, being the lowest, I think.
Each player has a six-sided die and a little coffin that you place the die in. So you choose a side of the die.
It's a bluffing game.
And you put your coffin over it. Once everyone chooses, you reveal, and whoever has the highest number gets to draw a card, and you can win by having a certain combination of cards. Whoever has the lowest number gets to move up on the coffin track, which is another way to win. But if anyone matches numbers, those are completely thrown out
for that round.
Picking the six seems like the obvious one, except that everybody else is going
to
pick
six.
So
either moving up the track or trying to get cards.
And if your die is the only one standing, which happens sometimes, get both benefits.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll have to definitely pull it out.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like a good one.
Okay, what's hilarious is I just heard Will's stomach growl a second ago
Kevin saying he's hungry. I thought I was full for Thanksgiving, but maybe not.
Bojangles.
Does that paper taste good? Is it like mint flavored?
I don't know.
No. You didn't get
Hannah,
any secrets,
our sister-in-law, is the one who got it. And
did you play it once or
just one time?
Oh, okay. Just once.
Yeah. Interesting.
I could see it maybe working for the type of people who like to play Truth and Dare, or
sounds like a good party youth group
party
game or something like that.
Sure. Like college age. Maybe at a convention.
What was it called?
It Dies With Me.
It Dies With Me. Interesting. Pretty cool stuff.
Before we wrap up, don't forget to check out our Etsy shop, the Tantrum House Etsy shop. We have Christmas cards to send out if you've signed up for any of those Board Game Geek Christmas card exchanges. I know there's a few Secret Santa board game exchanges on several of the Facebook groups. So get a Christmas card to send if you are sending out a board game to those, and just saw your family and gamers and GMs show a little Christmas love there.
Yeah, they've been pretty popular.
Yes.
I added one new one this year, and it wasn't as cool as the one Melissa suggested, but I didn't have time.
Next year. Always go with my suggestion.
That is probably a good idea. Well, maybe it's not too late. Maybe I can sneak one more in there before...
Probably too late.
Well, if you December do it now, 3rd, it'll be ready for next
right?
year.
Go, oh, okay. All right, we can definitely do that. We'll pull that one off. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another episode. I hope you guys had a lot of fun. We always have a great time talking about the games that we're playing and finding out what you guys are up to. I don't know if you know this, podcast listeners, but we do podcast publish live recording something on Facebook on Monday nights at like 10 o'clock EST. So if you want to join us live and you weren't aware of that, be sure to tune into our Facebook page where we have a lot of fun interacting with the folks who come and join us on the show. And if you just enjoy listening to this on your headphones, then keep doing that because we love making stuff that's cool for you guys to enjoy. So get your TantrumCon tickets, check out the Etsy store, wrap it up. Here we go. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss?
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.